how is that being dealt with if it's just alcohol and addiction problems? Well, there are programs like Alcoholics Anonymous. There's 12-step programs. There's rehab. There's treatment. But first off is the question of success. So like Alcoholics Anonymous and those 12-step programs generally have about a 5 to 10% success rate. But for Indigenous people, it's less. Then we have rehab and treatment programs. Now, these have a better success rate, and it totally varies. It's on how you measure it, but it's somewhere around 40%, but not for Indigenous people. It's less, right? But we know that potentially it sounds like it could be a solution because the person is being taken away from a toxic environment. They're detoxing themselves, and they're getting some kind of treatment. They're learning about addictions, awareness, and probably even some counseling, right? But still, we're not seeing the success rates we should. So there was it was an acknowledgement of this, that it's just not doing good enough. And I believe it was, Drug Rehab Canada website mentioned that mainstream treatment approaches used to treat addiction have only had minimal successes. The most successful addictions treatment programs for Indigenous people in Canada have been when using our own First Nations values and approaches. Mm-hmm. So to add to that, you have the National Library of Medicine. Now, they're out of the U.S., but almost 50% of their studies also come out of Canada, too. And they're referring to these studies, and they said the results provide evidence about the benefits of Indigenous cultural-based interventions to help improve the client functioning on all areas of wellness, particularly in association with reducing or eliminating substance use problems. So we can see if we start stepping into traditions and culture as a means of trying to heal, we are seeing progress in that, right? Still, it's not good enough, right? Mm-hmm. The numbers are still way too low, but we are seeing a difference between cultural-based intervention programs versus mainstream rehab programs, right? So it's kind of a step in the right direction, but it doesn't go far enough. Mm-hmm. So what we have to look at is while cultural-based intervention rehab programs shed light that returning to Indigenous traditions and culture is more successful than mainstream rehab programs, we have to understand their limitations. So I kind of just thought about some off the top of my head. I'm sure there's more, but I'll address a few. Of how, we have to keep moving in the direction of building our culture back or re-engaging with our culture. And the treatment programs are just too limited, right? So here's some of the limitations. They have limited access. That means, number one, you have to admit or voluntarily say, hey, I am an alcoholic or I am an addict. And then you have to get your name on a list. And I know these wait lists sometimes are like a year long. Mm-hmm. So we're not even addressing the whole family or the whole community, which are all affected by this. But really, it's just the person that's kind of at the bottom of the barrel in terms of life experience, right? Mm-hmm. Then we have the fact that the program, the way they address this is targeted at the individual. So the person who comes into the program, it's not dealt with as a community problem or a nation problem. It's dealt with as an individual problem. And that places the burden of change on the individual. And it kind of ignores what are the external forces that create the problem for that individual. Mm-hmm. Right? Then we have the short duration of the program itself. We know that they all vary. They could be a couple months long or so. But you have a lifetime of these external pressures and these atrocities and traumas affecting you. We need something that's going to be longer and more permanent within our life. Mm-hmm. And of course, culture does that because that's a way of living. But programs don't necessarily address it on that scale of time, right? Mm-hmm. Then the patients, once they're done at the treatment program, they go back to the very same toxic environment. And we know that, when you're talking to somebody who's alcoholic, they're told, don't go back to the same group of people that you party with. Don't go back to the same houses that you party with, because that will cause relapse. Mm. But yet, we're sending people right back to the same colonial society that created the conditions that led to our addictions, right? Mm. And then we have the idea that this is a a bureaucratic approach. The solution is it's based on programs and services, not based on rebuilding culture. Then, even if the program is successful, I can overcome addictions, but I'm still colonially toxic. As I said, the state of anime is much more than just the addictions issue. So you could be successful in the program, but not a success for recovering your life and your culture. And then for me, the biggest problem is that they don't address the core. They address the symptoms. The addiction is just a symptom. The colonial problems I outlined before with the atrocities, that's the disease. That's what really needs to be dealt with. So the Canadian Center for Addictions, they had said this. They said addiction is only a symptom. Identifying and understanding the underlying core issues that lead to the addiction is where a person will find authentic recovery. So if we can identify that the colonial atrocities and traumas are the problem, that's the core problem, that's what we need to deal with, not the symptoms, the addiction itself. We have to get to the core, right? That means to truly heal, we have to regain what was taken from us. Because colonialism has been an experience of disconnecting. We've been disconnected from our families, our parents, our siblings, our communities, our land, our language, our spiritualism, our culture, and our identity. Now, if we're going to deal with this, we have to reclaim those things. We have to get those things back and reconnect to them. So if we're saying that's kind of like the, I'm going to say a package of solutions, a solution package, because it's just not one thing. You're not just dealing with addictions issues, and you're not just dealing with poverty. You're dealing with a bunch of this, right? So why aren't we seeing this happen? So I'm going to just toss out a couple ideas behind that. And one is we frame the problem incorrectly. So as I said, we don't deal with the state of anime, or we don't deal with colonial injustices and atrocities. We treat this as an individual problem. It's an addiction problem where this person's traumas and life experiences cause them to have bad choices. So again, the burden is put on the person to create change. What we really need to be doing is focus on the bigger stuff, the bigger problem of colonialism. And that's all that list of atrocities I talked about earlier, because they create the negative conditions that lead to addictions. Then we have another issue where we can recognize rebuilding our culture is part of the solution package, but there's barriers to that. It ain't just simply, hey, I'm going to go learn my language and hear some stories about my people. There's way more to that, right? Because we're talking about a culture, and that means a way of life. So if I want to live a truly indigenous life where I can live on my land in a healthy way, and that means anywhere in my national territory, my land, right? Not just the reserves. And where I can hunt and fish and trap and forage, engage in indigenous agricultural practices, live in a spiritually ceremonial life. So basically the way of life of the indigenous person. To do that, then colonial control of my nation, my territory, conflicts with every aspect of being indigenous. If I want to go hunt, fish, trap, forage, plant, or do a ceremony in my national territory where colonizers have claimed private property, or where colonial corporations claim land for the sake of resource extraction, I'm going to be confronted with colonial laws and colonial power that stop me from doing that. So truly, authentically being indigenous in my homeland, it's still outlawed. That brings us back to the point that this is a bigger problem, right? We do need these individual solutions we talked about earlier and these cultural solutions, but we have to recognize it's even bigger than that too. And how do we resolve these colonial problems? Well, first, we got to deal with the idea that they were imposed by extreme force. Colonialism's objective is to engage in all those atrocities I talked about earlier, to gain control over indigenous sovereignty, indigenous governments, over our lands, our resources, and our people so that they can extract the wealth of our lands with little or no opposition from our people. So they won't give that up. There's way too much power and privilege in the system that they created. So that means this is a problem of power, and that makes it a political problem. So we have to understand that the solutions we're going to come up with are more than just how do we deal with the individual's experience, how do we deal with the individual's trauma. It's even more than just how do we engage in cultural resurgence and bring back our traditions, because we know that is going to help, that is going to help heal us. But it's even bigger than that, because the very conditions that create barriers to engaging and being that and being a part of that indigenous culture is the power of colonialism. So really, when we think about this problem, the state of anime is a power, it's a problem of power, and it's a problem of politics. Mm-hmm. So our solutions have to be an entire package mm-hmm. that addresses all of that.
Beautiful. Well, you know, we're very grateful to have your wisdom, your words, all your knowledge, and sharing it with our listeners out there. And it's making a huge difference. I'm very excited because we're going to end this just the same way that slavery was ended. And we saw numerous other countries that were able to eliminate or at least highly reduce the genocidal tendencies of their states. So we're looking forward to exploring this more and continuing our study and listening to the state of anime, what it has done, and the solutions. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing.
We're all in all yeah. relations.
Gukstrem, thank you very much, and bye for now.
Thank you.
See
ya. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was my brother Sagaj from the Mi'kmaq people from the East Coast, and we'll be right back.
Hey, do you want to make a real impact in the Black community? Join us where we connect you with Black-led organizations from all around the world. Get ready to get involved. Find the organization based on the location of interest. Follow us at supportblackcharities.org.
All right, we're back, and we're going to continue on with our program. We're going to get to the our next guest, Shkwait Shakhlach, my brother from Gwaishkina, BC, and we're going to play his song of the week. From it's Hilary Duff and the Whistle Mashup. So let's listen to that, and we'll get on with the rest of our program. Thank you for listening. Enjoy, everyone.
You just put your lips together and blow.
Kiss.
and talking like a bum.
We're back. That was Hilary Duff, the Whistle Mashup, and that was the pick of the week of Shkwait Shachlach. For those that don't know him, he's my brother. He's from Gwaishkina, BC, and he's an extreme survivalist. He survived Guillain-Barré syndrome, lymphoma, cancer, the big floods of a few years ago, and the big forest fires of a few years ago. A very big inspiration to many people, including myself. And we're just honored and blessed that he can come and join us on our program. Welcome to the program, Shkwait. How are you doing?
I'm doing as well as can be. Plucking along.
Yeah, that was
whistling as I go.
Yeah, it's all we can do sometimes. Yeah, very positive. We have a subject today, and it's
kind of cutting in and out.
It's our subject is on life experience, and we'd love to hear your words on that.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
Yeah. life experience. We have experiences every day, you know, some good, some bad, some by our own design, others, you know, act of the creator out of our hands. The thing is, I figure, you know, it seems like we have a lot more of negative experiences, and they're not particularly bad if they're by our own design, you know, our own poor choices and all that. Helps us learn to get past, you know. health issues, education, those are all something we have our hands in, you know. Poor diet, inactivity, you know, that's negative experiences, and they tend to pile up and drop on us. An experience out of our hands. I figure, you know, we can't let the negativity stop us from learning and trying to progress. You know, we got to remember that life happens, you know. It happens. And, you know, tomorrow will still come. The sun will still rise, you know, whether we had a good experience or bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
We just gotta go day to day and hope we make the positive choices that are in our grasp. That's what I can. That's what I think of when I think of life experience. Mm-hmm. We gotta try. Think positive on all the good and the bad.
Mm. Very, very wise. It's just like mining, you know. Like we can collect a lot of these rocks, and most of it's like useless to us. But as we extract, like for instance, gold. You know, there's like maybe 1% of the rock is gold, and then we get that. We like you're saying, we grasp onto the positivity, and the positivity is like gold as we go through our lives. And it's just a very wonderful way, and the way you expressed it was very, very genuine and honest. And we just really appreciate your words, because we know how much you came through and were able to survive and continue to inspire so many people. I'm just so blessed that I'm able to share with a lot of people your story, and they're always in shock when they hear, you know, how you made it through all these afflictions. So we really appreciate your words mm-hmm. and your wisdom, and just joining us on our program.
Yeah. I'm very happy I'm able to pull through weekly.
Mm.
Look forward to hopefully inspiring others to keep pushing along at life.
Mm. Yeah, so
thank you guys for your well wishes, thoughts, prayers, and love.
Mm.
I send it all back to you guys there at the station, listeners here and abroad.
Beautiful.
Thank you all.
Yes. Thank you very much, and we're going to have to say bye for now.
Okay, bye for now.
Okay, bye for now. Okay, and next, while we're running out of time here, we do have with us Lady Fahima. Welcome to our program, Lady Fahima. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Dear Chief Shackley, my greeting to you, to the station, and the wonderful team accompanying us, and the respected listener across the country and outside of the country, and my special love to the student of the Simon Fraser University that they are doing fabulous.
Yes.
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Excellent. We have our subject today, and it's on life experience, and would love to hear your words on that.
Absolutely. As many people that they know, I carry the legacy of Councillor Ferry, that she is the founder of this station and the proposal writer of this station, Free Voices. And she is from Prophet Line and Prince Ruth Line. And she decided to dedicate her life to the humanity. And she made a huge impact to change for the changes, better life, civilized life for everyone. So I carry her mission, whatever she's guiding me from the higher above, that she's watching me. I carry that duty as a student of mankind. What is the life experience? I'm just witnessing Dr. Payam Akhavan, international lawyer at the United Nations, that he accompanies with our station in the humble way in several interviews. That was extremely effective. And the next one is Dr. Latif, that I'm witnessing as a dentist lifetime. She's going to the indigenous people and bringing her knowledge and experience and sharing it with the Red Nation, the landowner of the company, the landowner of the country.
Mm.
I am the witness of the youngest soul, Anna Marquez, Irish dancer, a student, university student, as she represented Canada in the world. And I am witnessing Vagadis, one another wonderful, beautiful soul from the Red Nation, the landowner of the country. He became a champion of the swimmer. And witnessing such a wonderful soul and many, many other young one that they are in the university and or working and paying off for the university and the tuition and educating themselves in many ways. My love, my support, my best wishes to all of you. And this is just significant, the album of my life. I always wanted to be in the diversity. That was a dream as a childhood. Because I don't see the people by the color, the differences, by the belief. There is no differences in my book, in my vocabulary, in my dictionary. They are all one. And the more, the further background is bringing joy to my life, to my heart and my life. That I was able at this journey and on this Mother Earth to experience the nationwide and reaching the heart of each one of you and allowing me to visit, associate, to be a co-worker, working side by side, working in the neighborhood, working in the and non-profit organizations side by side as one body is such a privilege for me and such an honor as a nationwide I'm able to reach to each one of you. God bless this country and the rest of the world and peace for the whole world and my love, my unconditional love to each one of you. Thank you very much for having me. I do know that I am a servant of mankind. Thank you kindly.
Yes, beautiful, wonderful words as usual. So powerful, wise, and positive, full of positivity. We just thank you for joining us and sharing, you know, your perspective on our subject, life experience. Just always a blessing and an honor. Thank you so much. And we're gonna we're gonna have to say bye for now.
Yes, bye-bye now.
Bye for now.
Okay, beautiful. Bye-bye. All right, that was our Lady Faima, just always full of positivity and beautiful words. We're going to have to say bye for now, everyone. We're going to let you guys all go. Come back again next Thursday, 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. Listen to Free Voices here up at CJSF 90.1 FM.
Be well. And, enjoy the sun.
Yeah, and enjoy the song from Mohammed Niam. The snake dance.